Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here today with my extended family, my church family. Better than being at work, but we got to pay the bills, so that's biblical, right? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I'm glad to be here. Hopefully this morning I have something that'll be beneficial for all of us. I'd just like to open with a word of prayer before I start. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity you've given me to share your word. I just pray that you have prepared the hearts and the minds of the people to receive it, Lord God, and they would get your intended meaning for each of them out of this sermon. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do I start? Today's message is a little different, but we need a balance in the types of messages we receive, right? Everybody loves the grace messages, the prosperity messages, but we can't just live there. There's a lot of other things that God has for us in the Bible also. This message is more of an instructional message for us of things that God would require us to do so we can grow in our relationship with Him. One thing I'd like to say is we're very blessed here with the speakers that we have. I know he has a very good way of making things practical, breaking them down so we can use them. Joel, the same thing. Bill, Chris, Micah, Drew. I hope I'm included in that group, that when I stand up here, I'm not just standing up here for myself, that it's beneficial to all of us that are here. I mean, it is very beneficial to me preparing a message because of the amount of time and studying and prayer that you put into it. You grow immensely when you do this. Again, this is something I never had a desire to stand here in front of you and do this. I was comfortable sharing God with my family or my friends at work in my innermost circle. I mean, that's our comfort zone. We're able to talk to people, but this stretches us and causes us to grow, and that's a good thing. If you're not growing, you're stagnant. And stagnant water isn't good. I'm here today. I want to speak the truth and love, okay, to all of us. So don't think I'm not judgmental on anybody here except myself. And I think we should be judgmental on ourselves when we read God's word and let it point out our shortcomings. Let the word speak to us and show us the areas we need to improve on. That's why we have the word. The intent of this sermon is to cause us to grow in our relationship with God. If I just stood up here and read scripture to you all, that wouldn't benefit anybody really. It's nice to read scripture, but I want to try to break it down and make it so that we can apply it to the things that are going on in our lives. Then this will help us in our daily struggles. I really didn't want to share on this particular topic when I felt it came to me and I was like, I don't know. Like, I kind of felt intimidated by the topic. I felt it could be a bit controversial and even be taken the wrong way. But God didn't give me the spirit of fear. Amen? So I ran it by Pastor Jesse even just to make sure, and he said he thought it was okay. So with his blessing, I believe this is the message that I'm supposed to share. Everywhere I looked in the Bible, it kept coming up. Even when I flicked on the news, you know, something would confirm it. Turn the radio on, GRC would be talking about something that dealt with this. So, I mean, it kept coming up. I believe it's a timely message. So let God's word challenge us and inspire us to be better people. The world out there is hopeless, okay? That's a given. But we are not hopeless because we have Christ Jesus, and our hope is in Jesus. We know God is in control. We occupy this world, but we are not of it. We kind of have dual citizenship. We live here, but we also have a citizenship in heaven when we get there. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That pretty much sums everything up. If God is on our side, everything's going to be all right. Here's an example. It's a good report, but when we take things into our own hands and look at them with our human eyes instead of trying to focus on God, we miss out on the big picture. We just changed health insurance at work, and it's a high deductible, okay. And I had the money to pay for the prescriptions, but I was kind of like upset about it. This just don't seem right. It don't seem fair. Why should I have to drain my savings to pay for my wife's medicine? And she kind of felt the same way. So we consulted with the doctor, you know, and I kind of prayed about it a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to put it in God's hands because I'm just upset and I'm not doing any good. And so it would have been $6,000 to fill two of her prescriptions out of my pocket. The doctors and the pharmacists got together and brainstormed. They came up, changed her meds. They put her on a medicine that's $17 and change for 3 months. Did away with one that was $1,200 a month. Okay, she's been on them for a little over a month. She went for a checkup, and you know what? Her blood sugar numbers are like 40 points lower than they were when she was on that expensive medicine. Now you tell me, but I mean, because I turned it over to God and trusted Him instead of trying to fix it myself, I believe He caused it to work out. So that's just maybe encouragement for all of us. If we're in a tough situation, we need to trust in God and let Him. He's got the ultimate say in everything. So just hopefully that maybe will encourage somebody out there. I don't know. When I look at the world around me through human eyes, it's hard to understand all that's going on. Those of you who know me well know how much I enjoy music, especially older music. Well, I'm old, I have gray hair, so that would fit, but the older songs, actually, if you look at the lyrics, a lot of them told a story, and they actually had a meaning to them. They weren't just some stupid song like they are today. No, I'm not talking about the Christian artist. I'm talking about the mainstream radio. But I got my title for today's message from a recording from 1970, actually. I am really dating myself, but it's a Marvin Gaye record from 1970 titled "What's Going On." You think about it, really, if you look at the world, what is going on? This was a groundbreaking recording for the time. I mean, really, the recording confronts military conflict in the Vietnam War, civil rights movement, you know, racism, especially in the South, drug addiction, and the pollution of our planet. When I look at what's going on today, it seems like society is still dealing with the same issues some 50 years later that they were then. But don't let everything you see going on around you steal your joy. The world will drain you of your passion for God if you allow them to. So don't let them. need to keep our focus on God and not on the world. The prize waiting for us at the end of the race is eternity in heaven with Jesus. It's a pretty good prize. Why is it that people are unable to change? Why hasn't the world changed in all this time? It's because of the evil that men have stored up in their hearts. And Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." People don't change on their own. Anything we do without God is destined to fail. Matthew 19:26 says, "Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" And all means all. It's all inclusive. With God, nothing is out of the realm of possibility. We can do good things for the wrong motive. If God is not in it, it has no merit. It's not going to help us get to heaven. Isaiah 64:6. "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." People can't change without God doing a work in them. God will do the work in us to help us change if we allow him to. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." We have the Holy Spirit and the Rhema, living word of God, written on our hearts. We need to allow that word to speak to us. How do we allow that word to be written on our hearts so it can speak to us? One way is to come to church so we can hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Another way is by reading the word and allowing it to transform our thoughts to line up with God's. Transform your minds by the washing of the word. The word convicts us of our shortcomings, but it doesn't condemn us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. Do not worry when you see all the turmoil around us. God is in control. Matthew 6:25-34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in any barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worry won't help us one bit. In fact, it will only hinder us. It's bad for our health. I believe we are living in the last days. Okay, by the things that are occurring in the world. I mean, if you look in the Bible and read the prophecies that are happening, now I'm not saying it's tomorrow or next week. We don't know exactly when. Only God knows that hour when he's coming. But we do know Jesus is coming back.
Matthew 24:36-38. "But about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. For For in the day before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered into the ark.
People were just having a merry time, doing whatever, and they were shocked when the flood came. We don't want to be shocked when Jesus comes back. We need to be ready and waiting for him.
God's not constrained by time like we are. Maybe it seems like he's taking a long time, but it's his plan, not ours. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But we need to be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you very well know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are the children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night nor to darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Matthew 25:1-10. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us, and you instead go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. I mean, look at the virgins who had no oil for their lamps. I'm just throwing out a friendly warning to all of us, myself included, so we aren't deceived and so we are ready. But I think if we maintain a right relationship with God, I don't think we'll have any trouble. We just need to be pressing into God daily. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We need to be careful and guard our hearts. Okay? How do we do that? We need to be careful with what we watch on TV, for one thing. We need to be careful what we're listening to. If we listen to the wrong things, it's easy to become disheartened. Think of our brains as a computer hard drive. If the computer has bad information on it, it can't function as it's intended. You just get all kinds of error messages. If we have bad information in our brains and on our hearts, we can't function the way God has intended us to function in this world. We need to have a right attitude so we can hear from God when he's talking to us. Matthew, this talks about the 12 people who spent the most time with Jesus when he was doing his ministry here on earth. And Mark 6:41-52. Just listen to this, especially at the end, and catch on to this and grab hold of it because it's important. Okay? You don't take anything else out of this message, take that to heart. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. He fed a multitude of people with very little food and had more food left over than what they started with. That's pretty amazing. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida. When he dismissed the crowd after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oar because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed in the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. "Grab hold of this." For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Okay. This makes me want to work on keeping a humble attitude. I'm not as smart as I think I am sometimes. And they didn't have it all figured out after spending that much time with Jesus. I know I don't have it all figured out. So God, please help me to keep a humble attitude. The time I read that, I never picked up on it before. They didn't understand because their hearts were hard. If they could miss it after spending all that time with Jesus, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we could miss it either. Okay. Did you ever have the Holy Spirit point something out to you? It's not subtle. It's like it hits you like a ton of bricks. It's not easy to ignore. We can't ignore it, though, if we choose to do so. The thing we have that they didn't have, which will help us, is we have the Holy Spirit. Okay. This gives us the ability to discern things. The world at large cannot see, nor does it understand the spiritual nature of things hidden from their human eyes, hidden from the human senses. They do not and cannot perceive that we are involved in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." When Satan turns up the heat, so does God. That's one good thing. Romans 5:21 explains this. "The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Take this message to heart, okay? And think about your walk with God. Romans 12:1-3. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." I mean, don't let the world bring you down, and don't try to be like them. Try to be the best person that you can be, and live right. Do the things that Jesus has asked us to do in the Bible. Verse 3, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more high than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has disturbed each of you.
When we read our Bibles, okay, don't just read it to read it. Read it, meditate on it. Let it sink in. And, you know, ask questions of God. What does this mean for me? How can I use this? And then take the time to stop and listen. Don't wait 30 seconds and say, he didn't answer me. Okay, and go on. Sometimes we have to make ourselves still before God and wait on the answer. He gives us grace if we're humble. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The only way we can truly know what's going on to the full extent of what God wants to reveal to us is to seek God and spend time with Him and be prayerful. Satan knows his time is limited and he wants to do as much damage as he can in what little time he has left. He knows he's no match for God and that he's defeated. The good news is we get to read the ending of the book before it happens, and we know how it plays out. The good guys win. That's us. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about the days of the signs of the last days being upon us. 2 Timothy 3:1 to 4. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sounds a lot like the world today, but we're not the world. We're the church. We belong to God. So we're different than they are. But we need to let the world see that we are different than them. Let the world see Jesus through us, because there are a lot of people out there who don't go to church. Maybe they've had a bad relationship in church or whatever and been burned and they're turned off. They're watching, especially if they know you're a Christian. They're watching you. They're watching to see how you handle situations. If you have that peace of God, that peace that passes all understanding, and you let Jesus shine through in a tough time, they're going to start wondering, wow, maybe there is something to this God thing, really. Maybe I ought to check this out. We can draw people to Jesus if we let His light shine through us. In Luke 21:8-11, He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in My name, claiming, 'I am He.' The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then He said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. And fearful events, and great signs from heaven." A lot of this is happening right now. Churches are watering down God's word. Okay. Whole denominations are eliminating whole parts of the Bible and saying they don't apply today because times have changed. People are being deceived and they'll fall away because of false teachings. God does not change. His word is consistent. It is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow.
Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That gives us a warning so that that doesn't happen to us. As far as wars and rumors of wars, look at the Middle East right now. Seems like all the nations except the United States has turned against Israel. And that's a major sign right there. There's been an increase in flooding, earthquakes, and crazy weather, storms. These are major world events with catastrophic consequences. In Kenya, millions of locusts are devouring crops. I got this right off ABC News. They're worried this will cause a famine in the land. Swarm is so great, the sky turns black. Science has no explanation why the locusts appeared or where they came from. Why are they there? It's just like science not being able to explain what God's doing, isn't it? I'm not making any of this up, okay? I showed you all the scripture references so you can see where I'm coming from. This is what God put on my heart to share with you. Again, I want to encourage all of you, because we have a relationship with God and have the Holy Spirit, as long as we pay attention, we won't be deceived. You can see the raging people of the world when you confront them with godly principles. They won't accept it. Why do you think President Trump faces so much opposition at every turn? It's spiritual. One of the reasons is he stands up for godly principles. He routinely meets with groups of pastors and has them pray over him and for him. He confronts the abortion issue, which enrages people when you call it what it really is, which is murder. He confronts the border issue, which I believe it's in Ezekiel. I can't remember the exact chapter and verse. I think it's 25. But it talks about in the Old Testament of peaceful nations being attacked because they have no border. It's biblical to have a strong border to keep your enemies out. I just want to encourage all of us to be prayerful and be seeking God. Prayer is our greatest weapon against the enemy. I hope this message made sense to you. I know I cover a lot, but I wanted to show you where I feel we're at today in the world with what's going on. I'd just like to reiterate that without God and all this, we will be lost. Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming." God is the only place we can find clarity in a time such as this. If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask for it, and it will be given to them. That's all I have.